What I'm going to go through today is an overview of what Clean Marinas is for anyone who's not familiar with the Clean Marinas program or Clean Marina programs across the country. And then I'm going to cover really for the majority of the session a project that Ohio Clean Marinas led, but that we did for the entire Great Lakes in hopes that, and really anybody across the country, in hopes that marinas can have examples of up-to-date and some innovative best management practices to address a number of what we feel are science-based, kind of more modern sustainability practices. And we'll go into that in a little bit. And then I'll end with some resources. I'll hopefully share with you a number of resources that are both available for Great Lakes marinas, but honestly through anybody across the country, and then some of our Clean Marinas program resources that we have for Ohio. And then, like I said, we'll finish with a question and answer. All right. So the first is really, what is Clean Marinas and why should we even care? Why should you, either as a marina owner, a yacht club operator, or a retailer or a vendor, even bother to learn about or participate in the Clean Marinas program? So Clean Marinas, by and large, across the country, are voluntary incentive-based programs. So they are purposely non-regulatory, although there are some regulatory programs across the country, but the vast majority of them are a non-regulatory setup. The idea is marine owners participate in it voluntarily, and then in turn get recognition. They meet best manager practices through learning about environmental best manager practices that apply to marinas. A number of our clean marina programs across the country, the coordinators and our partners offer guidance and technical assistance. So it is not on you as a marina owner per se to implement these practices. There are a number of partners and colleagues that I have across the country that really help hold your hand and help try and make it as easy as possible to implement these practices. And then the whole point is that you are recognized and you're able to market yourself as being Clean Marina. And so I know from the sessions that I attended yesterday and on Tuesday, that is key in the industry, is how do you differentiate yourself? How do you set yourself apart from your competitors? And so while, you know, in a perfect world, the Clean Marina program is to feel good, to know that you're doing the right thing for the environment, and ultimately to protect water quality, certainly a secondary benefit is that you are able to add that logo, add those marketing materials onto your basically list of amenities for your facility, and become recognized and set yourself apart in that way. So something for folks, just if anybody is there from the Great Lakes states, there are a number of Clean Marina programs across the Great Lakes. And I see programs from the standpoint of there are certification programs, and then there are a couple states, New York and Pennsylvania, that offer incentive programs, and so our educational programs. And so their marinas are not necessarily certified per se, but they certainly have staff in the state that provide education to boaters and to marine owners on environmental best practices. And then there's just a note at the bottom. We welcome anyone from across the country to participate in what we call the Great Lakes Clean Marina Network. So if you are a marina owner, if you are someone from agency or an organization or even vendors, we welcome anyone to join. We have quarterly calls where we just share ideas, try and talk about difficult situations that any number of states are dealing with in terms of either environmental regulations or challenges with sustainability initiatives, and then try and help each other out. And then to give a larger perspective, across the country, there are clean marina programs in just about every state. I'm becoming aware of some more inland states that are starting to look at clean marinas programs. Historically, clean marinas was thought of as a coastal, you know, type of initiative. It started in the ocean states and then gradually moved into the Great Lakes. But basically any you know, a state that has a reservoir, has marinas, could certainly have a clean marina program. And you could argue that regardless of where you are across the country, and everybody lives in a watershed, and so every marina impacts a water body in some way. And so that's kind of the mission of the program, is really why should we even bother? You know, what is clean marinas? Basically, the way I talk to my marine owners is marinas are the last chance any sort of pollution has to be treated or managed before it reaches a water body or an end source that, you know, then there are additional challenges in treating that water. So on land, marinas are kind of that last chance. And they not only can take responsibility for the practices and the pollution that's generated on their property, but more often than not, marinas are handling runoff that comes from elsewhere, and they're just simply the end source of where that runoff goes before it reaches the waterway. So I argue that clean marinas should be promoting yourself very actively in the community. You should be talking to your community members, talking to your fellow business owners, talking to your decision makers, and especially if you have issues with water quality, if there are harmful algal blooms, if you have trash in your waterways that is an issue that decision makers are focusing on. As being a clean marina, you could say, I am doing everything in my power to not only help make sure my business is sustainable and environmentally friendly, but I'm also likely helping my neighbors. And so that's a pretty good marketing tactic, and also in just getting support from your local economic development and local decision-making community. So for in the top right, I have Ohio. We have kind of a 5-step program, but really anywhere from 5 steps to 10 steps, I would say, is a step to certification. I will say, while the 10 steps seems overwhelming, it is certainly not. By and large, and this will be available to you, but it's summarized here. Basically, the process is you find out if you have a clean marina program in your state. You reach out to your respective representative for that program. Through some method, most of us across the country have some sort of pledge or some way that you kind of commit in a way to participating in the program. For Ohio, I can say that pledge is certainly non-binding. It's simply, to be honest, giving me permission to bug you and talk to you about becoming a certified clean marina. It's not something sometimes you run into with state parks or things like that, or Army Corps lakes, that they're concerned about signing a contract. It's not a contract in any way. It's just simply saying, hey, you know, I'm interested in this program. Yes, please follow up with me so that we can move forward towards certification. Every single program that I'm aware of, as far as clean marinas, requires training. That's a key step. This is a voluntary process. So education is a large part of this. And that being said, it's not overwhelming. It's not meant to be overwhelming. It's meant to be training that hopefully covers a number of environmental regulations that apply to you as a marine owner, and that is probably, honestly, helpful information for you to be aware of if you aren't already. And then we delve into basically proactive best practices that are above and beyond the regulations. And the way I see our training in Ohio, and I think many of us in the Clean Marinas program see our training, is it's there to help provide you with the base knowledge that you need to execute this program. But we're not, you know, having you go to school, you know, you're not going to have to sit through courses and courses of material. It's just simply a training to make sure you understand the responsibility that you're taking on by becoming a certified clean marina. Following that training, many states have what's called a self-evaluation, or for Ohio, we call it a pre-certification site visit, where we basically kind of come out and walk through together, or a marina themselves goes through the certification checklist, and it's very casual. It's there's no steps to certification that day. It's simply a really an assessment of the site. Every marina is different. In Ohio, we work with a marina that has 10 docks and a boat ramp. That's a mom-and-pop campsite marina, all the way up to Cedar Point Marina, if you're from, that has, you know, 800 slips and you know, all the whole gamut. So in many states, we're very used to working with a wide range of facilities, and that includes, at least in Ohio, yacht clubs, boat clubs. I basically count anything that has docks and a manager or some point of contact that I can work with as a marina. And we're willing to work with you. If you want to become certified, you want to do the right thing, we're happy to help you. And so we go through that site visit. Following that site visit, likely whoever your Clean Marina representative is will have a list of recommendations. I will tell you 75% of the time, many marinas are doing most of the practices already. It's simply giving you credit for what you're already doing. And there's maybe a few things that need to be added or a few things that need to be tweaked slightly to meet certification. But I think sometimes a barrier is that marinas will look at the checklist or look at the training and say, oh my gosh, this is overwhelming. When you really sit down and go through it, it's a lot less tedious than it seems. And so that's the goal of why somebody comes out and kind of works with you on that. So you'll receive those recommendations. It's then up to the marina to incorporate those recommendations. And then once you feel you're ready, you reach back out to your representative, schedule what's called a final site visit or a certification site visit. And basically, that's when our representative in Ohio, we have, and I think in a couple other states as well, a secondary verifier come out so that we have two people on site, go through the entire checklist again, make sure all the recommendations that were from the first site visit were implemented, and provided all is good, we usually certify that same day. Every state is a little bit different. In Ohio, we have every year you do what's called, I call it a desk audit, but it's not an audit, it's not regulatory, but basically we ask our marinas to complete a checklist every year, verify that they're still doing everything they said upon certification, and then every 5 years we do a recertification. So we'd come out on site and do the process. So every state is slightly different, but just about most states have some sort of checkup and then certainly a recertification after a certain time period. All right. So thank you again to those of you that are hanging on with us. And for anyone that's come in the room, just to let you know, I'm Sarah Orlando. I'm with the Ohio Clean Marinas Program. And we're just working through some challenges we've had with family emergencies and Heather Sheets and myself both having to leave the meeting early. So I appreciate those of you that are with us and sticking through with us. So now what I'm going to go into is what's called the Ideal Clean Marina. This was a Great Lakes Restoration Initiative funded project that Ohio led, but it was done for the Great Lakes Clean Marina Network, really. And the idea was, all of our Clean Marina programs have checklists, which are great, but they're not really helpful at visualizing what the Clean Marinas program is and how these different practices could be implemented in a marina. And so the objective of this project was to say, all right, well, if we had all of our practices implemented in the ideal scenario, in a perfect scenario, what could that look like? So we work with a consultant, we actually worked with Tull & Associates, and went through a series of meetings, went through our checklist, and actually updated our checklist to some extent to make sure we had the most up-to-date science-based environmental best practices. And so we came up with not necessarily using any particular marina, but basically came up with an imaginary marina, essentially, that incorporated all of these practices. And so the idea is, and the expectation is, maybe somewhere out there's a marina that incorporates all of these. But the idea is a marina can take a look at this Ideal Clean Marina rendering and zoom in. So on the next slide, I'll have a link to our map. I encourage you to look this up online and download it. It's extremely detailed, so you can actually zoom in to the extent of being able to see, like, people on the boats. So it's pretty detailed. And the idea is to zoom in, look around, and hopefully help innovate and come up with some ideas of how you could implement these practices in different scenarios on site at your facility. And so that was the point of this. So I'm going to go through, and I haven't included all of our practices, every single practice that's listed here, but know that this is available online. I'll go through here and each of the focus areas that we decided to include. And I've just pulled out some of the ones that we feel are especially relevant and that are being implemented, and with some photos that I've got to share here by some of our marinas. And so hopefully this will help give you some ideas of how to innovate on your site if you haven't already. And I'll have question and answers in a little bit so that we can talk through some of this or get any questions or even share ideas of how maybe you or your company has helped implement some of these practices. So the first section is marina management. So again, I'm not going to go through the whole checklist, but just have some examples here of best practices. My guess is you all may have at least one of these, if not more, already on site. And so hopefully this is just a reminder or an incentive to say, hey, well, maybe I clean marina if I'm not already. So as far as these checklist items, we recommend cigarette disposal containers. And I'll plug in as I can any helpful tidbits that is good information for you. So Keep America Beautiful, if any of you are familiar with that organization, they actually right now are giving away free cigarette butt disposal containers. You simply have to provide your latitude and longitude so that they can map it out. So I'll have my contact information at the end, or otherwise, if you just reach out to Keep America Beautiful, it's a nationwide organization, and to my knowledge, they had on their level of thousands of cigarette butt disposal containers that they are having to give out, they received through a grant. So that's something to look into if you haven't already. Compost area. This seems odd, and sometimes people laugh when I say that, but I have a couple marinas in Ohio that have set up, let's say they're in an area that maybe is slightly rural, and several of our marinas in Ohio have large concentrations of charter captains or anglers at their facility. So what they do is they take the fish waste, the guts, that from fish cleaning stations, and they work with a local farmer to actually set up a compost area off-site. Now what we do through our Clean Marinas program is it doesn't necessarily have to be off-site, as long as I can verify, and basically in this case it was right next door, that you have set up kind of a partnership compost setup, that still counts towards our program. So that's one idea for folks if you have any anglers or if you have a fish cleaning station on-site. Recycling bins. Simple but extremely effective. The one thing I will say with that is what we found voters and just like most general public, you have to make it very easy to do the right thing. So if you have a recycling bin 10 feet away from a trash can, people are just going to throw both in the trash can. If you have a recycling bin right next to the trash can, there's a greater chance that somebody will take their pop bottle or aluminum can and put it in the recycling bin. So again, looking at how you're setting up your site, trying to make it as easy as possible. You know, boaters are boaters. They're there to relax. They're there to have a good time. They're not there to work. And so it's trying to think from that perspective, but also trying as best you can to make sure you put things in place that make a difference. Signage, I'll note, I don't know if you guys can see my mouse here, but as part of the Ohio Clean Marinas program, we created actually signs made out of recycled PVC that go up at the marina, and we include our logo. The idea is hopefully people walking around the marina will eventually start to see that logo and it'll click, oh, you know, wow, yeah, this marina is a clean marina. Maybe that's why they're being really, you know, they're making sure to pick up their trash and everything like that. So we include our logo there, and then have signage on a number of environmental policies and practices. The other thing I always tell marine owners is there's certainly the stance that, you know, signage, nobody reads it, but to me, it's also a liability coverage. So even if your boaters don't read the sign, it's there. and your butt is covered. If somebody dumps something, you can say, hey, well, I have signage that you're not allowed to do that in my facility, and so you're responsible. And so that at least is an added layer of coverage for you, or liability coverage, if you have that signage out there. Pet waste collection kits. This is another one. There's just a quick note. The Great Lakes Clean Marina Network has a discount provider list. And so there's a couple companies that provide, those doggy waste bags or collection areas that give a discount for certified clean marinas. So feel free to, if you just Google kind of Great Lakes Clean Marina discount list, there'll be that those companies will be available there. And then providing cleanup supplies. This is important, not just, it's actually required by law, usually, some sort of cleanup supply spill kit is required by law for any marinas that have a fuel dock. For clean marinas, we require it of all of our marinas because the stance that we take is you don't necessarily have to have a fuel dock to have an oil spill. And so it's really good practice regardless of the size and facility. If you can acquire just a little bit of boom, some oil pads, to have a small spill kit on hand, that way you're prepared. Obviously, if it's a major spill, call the National Response Center, but you have a small amount of supplies just to handle, just in case. Hopefully nothing ever happens, but you're prepared if it does. So another thing on marina management, this is getting a little bit more into the kind of contract language and things like that, but we provide all of our certified clean marinas with draft contract language that they can include. This again is another liability coverage because it makes takes some of the responsibility off of you, the marine owner, and puts it on to the boater for supporting your work as a clean marina. So both we have recommendations for boater contracts, and then there's a marina in our state that had a really good idea. They basically just printed off a half sheet of paper that says we're a clean marina, and by contracting with us and performing contract work on our facility, you agree to abide by all of the procedures of the Clean Marinas program. And so they have all their contractors sign off on that. They keep a copy. They provide contractors with a copy of the Clean Marinas program. A recommended step that the marina make sure their contractors are also abiding by any of the practices. Teresa, are we good? I just want to make sure.
Okay. You're good. You were a little crackly, but I think we figured it out.
Okay, thank you. An environmentally preferable purchasing policy. This is anything, honestly, from if you restrooms with post-consumer recycled paper towels, and you basically make a conscious effort at your facility to purchase more sustainable products. To let's say you have a restaurant or a snack shop, and you are mindful of not providing styrofoam, or you're providing reducing the amount of waste that you generate. So we look at a whole range of items there, but thinking in any way about using your dollars, obviously I know it's tight, but trying the best you can to purchase responsibly with the items and materials that you have on site. Energy efficient practices, this should be a win-win. We have a number of our marinas will recommend actually getting an energy audit by a local utility or state utility. That hopefully saves you money. You'd be amazed at how much either heat or loss of energy you may have at your facility. So that's a good practice anyways for business, but it's certainly a good practice we're acknowledging as well for the environment. So. Count. Are you okay, Teresa?
Yep.
I just see you popping it out, just want to make sure. Removing derelict vessels. That is for Ohio, we.
Just a second, Sarah.
We know that you have scenarios where somebody unfortunately passes away or just simply leaves their vessel, and then you have to handle that, and that is a long process. Derelict vessels are ones that we consider as so far gone that this truly could be a impact in navigation or become marine debris. And so we really focus our marinas on to reduce any chance of a vessel on site becoming a derelict vessel. And then shrink wrap recycling, or we're basically reducing that type of waste. This is one that is definitely going to be state by state. For Ohio, we do have a shrink wrap recycling program. It is in flux right now, largely due to the world plastics market declining and the dynamics of kind of what's going on between our generation of plastic and where our plastic waste ends up. But I would say an easy practice that any marina could do, try and educate your boater, put them on either reusing tarps so that they're not just a single use. What I encourage is, it sounds crazy, but working together to say, hey, you know, you have a bigger vessel. If on site, that could easily be their tarp that they use the next winter. So just encouraging your boaters to work together, reusing the tarp for putting under their purpose so that, again, it's not a single-use item. Dry rack storage as well, or certainly reusable tarps, reusable cloth covers are another solution. Teresa, I just want to make sure, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can.
Okay. Yeah, and as a reminder, what I'll do is I'll certainly share this PowerPoint with everybody or with Anna and Will so that they can post it on the site. Maintaining equipment is an easy one, but you'd be surprised. That's important. That's for anything from the travel lift to something as simple as moving the travel lift over grass or gravel, that at the end of the day, in case there are any leaks, that's when you have something stored or a paved, a very impervious surface, when it rains, as soon as it rains, that any pollution that's generated runs right off into the water. So grass, it's not perfect. It's not as good as being stored indoors, but it certainly helps slow down and allows the pollution to kind of percolate and will be contained on site. All right, for resiliency and preparedness, there's a couple practices, and this is one I will say it's kind of, I would say, our some of our newer practices where we're starting to push the envelope a little bit with clean marinas. But if any of you have been around for a while, when it started, we were talking about hydrocarbons, you know, just simply kind of oil and gas being generated at the marina. And while those are still certain and items that we address, there's a whole slew of other topics now that we consider under the umbrella. So cleaning and maintaining stormwater structures, this is actually not that difficult. It's just simply training your staff to walk around the marina and any areas that where you would have trash buildup, but it makes a huge difference. Flooding issues. So that's a help for your facility, and it's also a help for water quality. Evaluating your risks from storm events. This ties into the next two bullets down. That's filing and
Sarah, we're having some problems.
There we go.
We're having some problems with the audio. I'm not sure if it's the mic or the Wi-Fi connection, but I think it's working right now.
Can you hear me okay, Teresa?
Yes.
I'm going to hang on 1 second. I'm going to see if I can close down some of my saying that something is happening here. So I'm going to see if I can close down some of this stuff. Teresa, I'm going to keep talking. If it seems still that you can't hear me, let me know. Or
okay.
Just send me
sounds good now.
Message here. So the resilience and preparedness, the idea is to try and think ahead, to try and plan ahead. Based on the science that we have, we are projecting nothing but more frequent severe storms into the future. And so I tell a lot of folks is instead of thinking about a little bit of rain or the course of 9 days or 5 days, you know, in terms of past physical storm records, it's a lot of that rainfall often in the matter of 1 to 2 days that we're seeing something.
That's happening again, Sarah.
Having a plan.
Okay.
What was that, Teresa?
The audio was off. It seems okay now. I'm not
sure. Let me see. As well, too. Can you hear me okay now?
I can.
Sorry, guys. Teresa, if it's all right, I'm going to keep talking the best I can. I think
okay.
I've got... Let's see. So we've got that, filing the emergency hazard document with your staff. So in Ohio, and something to be aware of that we have in the Great Lakes, and then if you're across the country in, I would say, the coastal states, absolutely there are a number of resources. There's already existing hurricane preparedness plans that you can adapt for your facility. In Ohio and in the Great Lakes, what we've done is we've tried to put together some resources honestly, that are largely hurricane preparedness plans that we've tried to adapt for Great Lakes states. And so feel free to contact me, or if you work with any Clean Marina programs in the Great Lakes, we've worked to try and develop these materials so that we have the resources, we have the templates to help marina owners with this process, understanding that you don't have the time to develop your own plan. You know, again, you're trying to run a business. So we've tried the best way we can to put together resources in one spot. So you have the necessary preparation, adaptation, and response guidance available to you. And then the last one before I move on is disconnecting downspouts. This is one that you may hear about in your local community, but it also definitely makes the difference at the marina. The idea is your downspouts collects all the rainwater off of your roof and directs it to oftentimes your wastewater treatment plant. And that just simply adds to the amount of water that the wastewater treatment plant has to handle, which is why sometimes we have combined sewer overflows. So if a marina participates in helping to disconnect their downspouts, directing that water off of their roof instead of running onto a pavement, onto something like gravel or grass or into a flower bed, that significantly reduces the amount of water that their wastewater treatment plant has to handle, and then also reduces the amount of pollution that would have been going to our waterways. All right. A couple other things on resiliency and preparedness. Monitoring water quality. What I ask marinas is just simply looking at what you have and trying to get a benchmark for what your normal water quality is in your marina is a good practice to have, because that way, let's say even just once a quarter, you take a pH, maybe you take kind of just a grab sample, a visual sample of your water quality, and get an idea of what it looks like. If during that same quarter something looks different, or you take a pH and it's way off, and let's say you're having construction being done, that could be a signifier that the contractor is not doing the necessary mitigation practices, and they're impacting water quality based on what may be happening on site. And you can then go back and perform corrective action based on monitoring that water quality. So I really recommend it when a marina is doing construction or just having significant changes being done at the marina. Adopting water conservation practices, anything from low flow toilets to I have marinas that I give credit if they check their water lines to make sure they're not wasting water for the water supply that they have out at the docks. That's a conservation practice. Removing obsolete shore erosion structures. Obviously, there's many marinas and many cases where you have to have the bulkhead, you have to have structural stabilization along the shoreline. But if you can look at your facility and you can identify areas that are not being used or underutilized or that are on almost the edges of the marina, and maybe where there's been historical structural stabilization there, look at a long-term plan, and instead of having to invest in those costs, look at actually changing and shifting to kind of a more of a naturalized shoreline. This is something that I'll say coastal management programs across the country are recognizing and starting to recommend. So it's something you can, if you're in a coastal area, you may be able to work with your coastal management office on. And then finally, replacing impervious areas with pervious surfaces. Again, this is one that I always work with our marinas to say, I'm not asking you to change your entire parking lot or take your lift well and put pervious surface there. That's obviously not a practical application. But looking at certain areas in the marina, I talk about if there's like a walkway that, you know, is simply for pedestrian walkway, you can look at, instead of using concrete, you can look at using pervious pavers that still are aesthetically pleasing, but certainly function better for water quality. The example in the picture here is actually a marina in Ohio where they worked through a grant program with a local park nearby to get a parking area. This is not where they have heavy machinery going, but it's just a general parking lot. And so they converted it from a paved parking lot to an impervious surface that helps manage runoff. And Teresa, I just want to make sure I'm going to keep moving forward, so definitely let me know if there's still issues with the audio.
You're all Thank good. You.
For habitat and species, there's a number of best practices, many, again, which I'm sure you're implementing, but some just reminders. No wake signs. We acknowledge with Clean Marinas both being a function for boater safety, but then also for erosion control. And so that's something we recommend. Invasive species education, those are the photos along the bottom. If you haven't heard already, you likely will hear about zebra mussels and quagga mussels, but there are 186 aquatic invasive species in the Great Lakes and counting. And while, you know, I'll talk to people and they'll say, well, they're here, why does it matter? The importance is all it takes is a single boater going from one body of water to another and not properly managing their invasive species decontamination or prevention to start to introduce a new invasive species in a body of water. And so our target is not the boaters that stay at the same water body. Our target is we work with a lot of public marinas, any marinas with boat ramps, marinas that if you have and if you are thinking about implementing input for paddlers, for kayakers, canoers, stand-up paddle boards, those are major vectors of invasive species. And so it's very important to put up signage and have education to those boaters about the importance of reducing the spread of invasive species. There are a number of invasives that I could talk about, but a key sum to note, zebra mussels and quagga mussels are still absolutely a concern. it's very important that we take responsibility in, if there's any folks in, I would say, the Midwest to Eastern states, to minimize the spread of invasive species, zebra mussels, otto mussels, to the Western states. And then hydrilla is an aquatic plant. I have seen examples of that single plant shutting down an entire lake to boat traffic in upstate New York. And so it seems harmless, but literally all it takes is a few strands and no management and allowing that to take over. And then you have a once highly valuable waterfront property with boats and boat docks now being shut down to vessel traffic. Aquatic safe herbicides and pesticides. If you work with a local management company for weed management and they are also familiar with working with marinas, chances are if you talk to them, they will have aquatic safe herbicides and pesticides to use. There is a version of Roundup that essentially is the same as Roundup. It acts the same, but it doesn't have the key chemicals that can be of concern for aquatic organisms. And so highly recommend if you're a marina and you use any of those near the water, not applying it before a rainstorm and then talking with whoever your applicator is to work on an aquatic safe version of what you're using. And then efficient bait waste management plan. Fish cleaning, at least in the state of Ohio, and I'm pretty sure most everywhere else, it's illegal to dispose of fish in the general waters. And so we work with our marinas to set up fish cleaning stations with proper management techniques for trying the best that they can to manage the fish and manage them in a sanitary way, but also not have it going into the water. And then bait is one to note for invasive species. If you have a local bait shop, you want to make sure your boaters are buying bait locally, using it locally, and not transporting bait. Transporting bait is another big way invasive species get spread. All right, and then a final piece on the habitat and species. So there's three bullets that I have here, and honestly, a lot of them are intertwined. Having habitat to increase biodiversity. This can be anything from working with a local Boy Scout, Girl Scout troop to put in a little butterfly garden, which is a great community service project. Gets attention to your marina, you can get signage around it, and it helps enhance aesthetics at your facility. That same butterfly garden could have native plantings and then also involves some weed pulling for invasive species management if you have any invasive weeds on site, and then installing native vegetation and nature-based erosion controls. So this marina in the picture here, if you can barely see it, but on the far left, they actually have a bird house, a bird nesting box there for, I believe, purple martin that's there. They've worked, you know, it's not the whole marina, but basically they've worked on their rack storage building to put native plants along the side of the building. The gutters are disconnected. They flow into that flower bed, and the pollution from the roof gets filtered there. And then they've taken what, you know, could have been bulkhead and hardened shoreline on the left-hand side, and they actually made a put-in ramp for paddle craft, and they put in native plantings and kind of a slowly sloped, a nature-based shoreline there. And the marina is off to the right, but they utilize this space as a parking lot, a permeable parking lot, and then kind of some habitat enhancement and native plants so that it's benefiting wildlife, but it's also still functional for the marina. All right. Boater education is one that we get a lot of questions about from our marine owners. This is one that is not just exclusive for, I would say, clean marinas. Anybody can work with us on this. What we encourage here is vessel safety checks, any educational materials that you can have for your boaters, the Clean Marina Network on the bottom there. We have a number of rack cards that are available for download that have boater education on clean boating. Encourage you to reach out to us or find that online, download those, put it in your contract renewals, put in your slip renewals, incorporating those best practices for your boaters. I'm gonna go to the next one here for this clean boater pledge. So in Ohio, we work with boaters to educate them on clean boating, and we actually have a pledge that we provide where we ask boaters to help support our clean marinas and help support clean waters by pledging to keep basically toxic, any sort of pollution or products out of the water. And so in exchange for that pledge, what we do is, and we work with our marinas on doing this as well, we offer these boaters incentives. We try and make it as easy as possible to do the right thing. So we provide them with a fuel bib that helps catch drops of gasoline before it enters the water. And then we provide them with a walleye oil eradicator that actually goes in the bilge, and it takes oil and gas that can get backed up in the bilge, turns it into water and carbon dioxide. And the key is that it cannot be used in open waters, but in this case, they're able to double bag it and throw it in the dumpster because it's a remediation product. All right. I know I'm coming close on time here, so I'll finish up here. We also have a number of new practices that we are recommending in the Great Lakes that are not what you would intuitively think of for clean marinas, but we feel it's important to work with our marinas on this. We asked for our marinas to document and maintain records on their employees' training and basically encouraging and promoting their staff to become engaged in the Clean Marina program. So the idea being it's not just the marina owner that's receiving the training and buying into the Clean Marinas program. The hope is that this is a cultural shift within the entire facility. And so you encourage and support your staff buying into the program as much as you do yourself, so that if you're not there, or if, you know, your staff are out there, and they are, you know, on the fuel dock, they're being mindful of the practices and the commitment that your facility made to be a clean marina. We also are recognizing safety because we started to work very closely with a lot of our safe boating partners. So we support any initiatives to support safety at the marinas. So we recognize implementing a life jacket loaner program and providing education to boaters on the importance of wearing life jackets. And then finally, partnering with a lot of local communities. So what a number of our marinas have started to do is become more engaged in their community. Again, using the fact that they're a clean marina, talking to their community members about protecting water quality, and then partnering with a number of local schools, groups, anywhere on from doing a cleanup, doing a local, I would say, environmental best practices, but also on the other hand, getting those maybe non-boating audiences engaged in boating and engaged in the waterway. And so working with vocational schools, community college, things like that on getting them out at the marina, internships or any sort of collaborative project that helps get them on the water. And then finally, we have a number of clean marina webinars that we have throughout the year. And so we recommend that our marinas and their staff participate in those webinars and get up to date and stay up to date on any new practices. So I know, Teresa, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to come up to the room. I'm going to share quickly a couple resources, and then if there's any folks that have questions, I'll have my information at the end, and I'm happy to, I don't know if we have time. I don't know if somebody's right after me, so we'll work with that. But just real quick, at the top here is a link to the Great Lakes Clean Marina Network. Many of the resources I mentioned, the RAC cards, there's webinars available on that. There's a best practices guide. There's actually a map of all of the certified clean marinas is on there. For Ohio, we have a number of products and publications available. We actually created a Clean Boater YouTube series that's the link up top. That was meant to be a short social media based, like less than a minute clips on a number of different topics from invasive species to marine debris to boat management that you can use and embed in your social media and share with your boaters for easy boater education. And then this is my contact information and our email and phone number and everything, so that if anybody has follow-up questions or down the road wants to reach out, happy to take any of those.
So. Thank you, Sarah. That was great. Are there any questions from anybody? Okay, well, thank you. It doesn't look like any questions, Sarah.
Okay, thanks, Teresa.